Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, on a beautiful Thursday, July 17th, 2025. You will not be hearing the voices of Brian Alvarez or Mike Sempervivi today. However, you will be joined by myself, Filthy Tom Lawlor, former UFC fighter and professional wrestler. And in the second segment of the show, I will be joined by the illustrious professional wrestler, Lance Storm. So as always on the show, we have a ton of news in the world of professional wrestling to get into. Last night, of course, we had a follow-up to AEW's biggest show of the year, AEW All In, in the form of AEW Dynamite, coming to us from Chicago, Illinois, as AEW so often does. And that will lead us into another stacked weekend, not as packed as last weekend, of course, where we had Great American Bash, we had Saturday Night's Main Event, we had AEW All In, we had WWE Women's Evolution, we had a smorgasbord of shows. It's a little bit lighter of a plate this week, but still tonight we have TNA Impact on its usual channels, including Access in the U.S. Also, we have TNA Slammiversary this upcoming weekend, which emanates from New York City, which we can, of course, get into with Lance Storm later on. We have AEW Collision once again coming to us from Chicago, as they will be there until, I believe, the 31st of this month in the same ballroom that they came to us from last night. And that doesn't even include the UFC, we have a PFL show, we have tons of news to get into, including the debut of Chess Chop. Are you ready, Lance? We'll talk about it later in the show. No respect. No respect here on Wrestling Observer Live. Not Brian Alvarez, not Mike Sempervivi. Today, it's Filthy Tom Lawlor. It's Lance Storm in the house. Lance, how you doing?
I'm doing great. The first ever solo Lawlor and Storm show.
Yeah, first ever. I did do one solo show in the history of my time here on the website. And unfortunately, it was the day that Bray Wyatt passed away. So not the easiest of assignments that day, but hey, I'm looking forward to today, Lance. It's always great. Coming in, we had a commercial from Brian Alvarez, actually, where he said his show, After Dark, presents news on the weird with experts on the source. And that is also what we present here on Wrestling Observer Live, because there's plenty of news to get into. And as I said, we have an illustrious expert, in my opinion, fantastic wrestler, Lance Storm.
Old guy that's been in the business for a very, very long time, yes.
That's how you describe yourself?
Yeah, a very experienced seasoned veteran. Gosh, I'm coming up on 35 years in the pro wrestling world. So,
wow, 35 years. And still on the road. Still on the road, you know, what, a few times a month?
One to two trips a month. Leave Saturday for New York because Slammiversary is at the UBS Arena in, I think it's the Long Island area. I don't know the exact suburb and location, but the UBS Arena in New York City.
Yeah, Long Island counts as New York City. We'll give it that. So, yeah, of course, that is for TNA Slammiversary upcoming on pay-per-view. We should just get right into it since we're already on the subject of TNA. Tonight is TNA Impact ahead of the pay-per-view. And on TNA Impact, we have Trick Williams, Frankie Kazarian taking on Joe Hendry and Mike Santana. We have JC Jane addressing Slammiversary. Moose taking on Sami Callihan. The Hardys, Matt Cardona is in action. The Hometown Man takes on Judas Icarus. Order 4 collides with the System. Tessa Blanchard against Danny Luna. And we'll hear from the Elegance Brand. So no shortage of action ahead of the pay-per-view. This is a stacked show. with match after match. Lance, anything you'd like to say about tonight's TNA impact on Axis and various other channels?
It's the big go-home show, the final episode of either TNA or NXT, heading into a really big weekend with NXT star Trick Williams defending the TNA title and JC Jane, the NXT Women's Champion, putting her title on the line against Masha and the TNA Championship. We're going to have a unified multi-company champion coming out of Sunday.
We will. Unfortunately, when I look at it, I wish that match, because it to me, that is a big match. You know, obviously, the TNA Knockouts title has had some of the absolute best wrestlers, I mean, in the history of wrestling, you know, not only women's wrestling, but wrestling, hold that title. And I think it has a certain level of prestige, you know, where it deserves more than just a few week build. I wish that we had, you know, perhaps months and months heading into this before we got Masha Slamovich taking on JC Jane, but we're going to get it on Saturday. And, you know, I know that the NXT universe got a little taste of Masha Slamovich over the past few months and on Tuesday on their TV show, but I've been around the country. I've been on shows up and down the U.S. with Masha Slamovich. And I mean, she is one of the best wrestlers, on the scene today. So I can't wait for more people to have eyes on her and what she brings to the table. You mentioned obviously Trick Williams defending that title, the TNA title against Joe Hendry and Mike Santana. A lot of people looking at this as a perfect time to crown Mike Santana, of course, in New York City. But you know, there's still a lot of meat left on the bone with Trick Williams as champion, and you know, Joe Hendry always popular with the fans, so you can't discount Trick or Joe. Although, I mean, you know, I guess you'd put money, if I had to bet, the betting favorite would not be Joe Hendry in that situation. But I could see either Trick or Santana walking away as the champion. So, Lance, anything you'd like to say there?
Well, thankfully, I have zero inside knowledge from a creative standpoint, so I can voice my opinion. I'm a big believer, pun intended, in Mike Santana. Joe was a great champion for us, and Trick has certainly gotten us a lot of publicity and notoriety, but I'm a big supporter of Mike Santana, and New York would be a heck of a place to do it.
Yeah, and Mike Santana making the media rounds this week. He was on the Ariel Helwani show talking a lot about his, you know, just past few years in the business, his ups and downs. And usually, you know, when you're getting sort of that big media push from the company, it sort of bodes well for your future. And I don't know if Mike Santana is going to walk away the champion after this weekend, but I would imagine that he is going to be the cornerstone of TNA moving forward, at least for the rest of 2025. I also, Lance, as I'm sure you know, am not privy to the booking of TNA, but that is what I would do if I were pulling the strings, so to speak. The rest of the show on Saturday, you know, Moose taking on Sami Callihan tonight. No rest for the wicked there, as he is set to defend his title against Leon Slater, the TNA X Division Championship on Saturday.
It's not exactly a match that will prepare him for Leon Slater, I will say that.
No, stylistically, I can't think of two people perhaps more at odds with each other than Sami Callihan and Leon Slater. You know, maybe. No, I would put you, actually, your style closer to Sami Callihan than I would Sami Callihan and Leon Slater as well. So, yeah.
It's pretty much an opposite spectrum of wrestling styles for sure. But Leon Slater going to try to dethrone Amazing Red as the youngest X Division champion in TNA history.
How old is Leon Slater? Do you know?
I think he's 20.
20
years old.
He's like
5 years younger than my youngest kid. Yeah.
It's always crazy to me to see, because we see it, you know, we see it often in wrestling now with, and we've seen it over the years. I hate to say that, because that's not true. We saw Terry Gordy was phenomenal at a young age. Okada, Takeshita, they were trained very young and just phenomenal. Of course, Nick Wayne, Leon Slater. But we see this across all the sports, almost all the combat sports. You see guys in high school now making Olympic and world teams in wrestling, beating world champions in amateur wrestling. You have guys fighting in the UFC who are just some of the best fighters you're ever going to see. Fantastic, you know, in their mid-20s. So there's always a youth movement in these combat sports. And Moose, you know, Moose is a formidable task for anyone to defeat. But, you know, what a name for Leon Slater to take that title from, if indeed it is his destiny to be the youngest champion this weekend. We also have the Nemeths defending the tag titles in a four-way title ladder match against the Hardys, the Rascals, and First Class. We have Tessa Blanchard taking on Indy Hartwell, Mustafa Ali against Cedric Alexander, the Elegance Brand against the Inspiration, and as you mentioned, Masha Slamovich and JC Jane in that title unification, I guess you could say, although it's not a unification match, it's title versus title. So somebody will walk out with both titles.
Yeah, you'll be a dual champion, not actually a unified champion. I guess I misspoke, but
double champion.
Someone's going to have two titles, which is pretty big news.
Yeah, and it looks cool. Not as cool as Ultimo Dragon standing around with nine belts, but it still looks pretty cool. You know what else is cool? The rest of this show, because we're coming right back at you after the break. Welcome back. Wrestling Observer Live. No Mike Sempervivi or Brian Alvarez today. It's Filthy Tom Lawler, Lance Storm in the house, bringing you all of the wrestling news that we can in 1 hour on the airwaves. So we already talked about the TNA Impact show tonight, TNA Slammiversary upcoming on Saturday, but
Sunday.
I'm sorry, Lance. I apologize. You know, we're trying to do our debut team up show and just getting facts wrong. Double champion, not unified champion. The show is on Sunday. We're not even sure if wherever Long, where is it? Long Island? I almost said Long Beach. Long Island. We're not even sure if Long Island is in New York City or not. We know it's in the state. The show is on Sunday.
Yes, but I have it on good authority that the show will be phenomenal, according to Carlos Silva, our TNA president.
Look at that. You read exactly where my mind was going, because as it has been reported by many outlets, including Sports Illustrated, Sports Illustrated's The Takedown, the TNA roster believes that AJ Styles will be in attendance on Sunday in one capacity or another. Like you said, Carlos Silva trying to capitalize on the world. Phenomenal, of course, in a tweet promoting the show. The phenomenal AJ Styles, a Hall of Famer. Any which way you look at it, whether it's TNA, whether it's WWE, hey, he even staked his claim in New Japan as the top guy for a while overseas. This man has been around the world and done it twice over. One of the best wrestlers I've ever seen in my life. I hope he makes his return to TNA somewhat long overdue in some ways.
Yeah, I think it could be said that TNA might not even exist without AJ Styles. Like, that dude was the backbone of this company for years. I granted he made his name in TNA, but it's like he made TNA's name as well. The dude was so great and is so great, but I'm referring to his time in TNA was just fantastic, phenomenal, whatever choice of words you want to use. I was fortunate enough, I actually wrestled him one time on a show in the UK, a tag team match, and I had a lot of fun, and the dude's just fantastic in the ring.
Right. Obviously, when you think of TNA, if you were going to make a TNA around Mount Rushmore, which I will attempt to do right now, along with your help. But I would imagine that, you know, AJ Styles would have to be on that. Samoa Joe, Sting.
And I would go Jeff Jarrett as the fourth. Like, he was a founding father, if you will, as well as a long-running established top guy. Like, I don't think you can have a Rushmore and exclude Jeff Jarrett. So there's a few other people that you'd want to include, but if you limit to four, it gets hard.
Yeah, it sure is, because there is a man who undoubtedly, I think, would also deserve to be up there in that sort of discussion. And that is a man making the news today, Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle, as reported, once again, many outlets, including Real American Freestyle Wrestling themselves, have reported that Kurt Angle is joining Hulk Hogan's Real American Wrestling Freestyle Wrestling Company as an announcer. It's going to be, are you ready for this? Are you, Lance?
Hit me.
Insure me, please, before I tell you. It's going to be Kurt Angle in the booth with Chael Sonnen and Bubba, not the love sponge, Bubba Jenkins.
You had me there for a second.
Thank the Lord. Wrestling star Bubba Jenkins. So Kurt Angle, of course, storied, illustrious career. 1996 Olympic gold medalist in freestyle wrestling, winning it in the United States, in Atlanta, over a competitor from Iran, and made headlines across the world, did it with a broken freaking neck, and of course went on to be multiple time WWF, WWE world champion, TNA world champion. I believe he held the IGF title, the Inoki era New Japan belt. So one of the greatest pro wrestlers of all time, going back to the amateur world in some capacity, as he will be on the call for the August 30th debut of Real American Freestyle Wrestling.
And what a coincidence that both he and Hulk Hogan won their first big accolade from an Iranian.
Wow. Yeah, that is, you know, about what, like maybe 10 years apart? I'm trying to think. I was very young when Hogan defeated the Iron Sheik.
Was it 83? I'm guessing.
83 is when I was born. And I believe WrestleMania would have been like 84. So Hogan would have had the belt, right, already by then. So, yeah, maybe like 13 years apart, which is crazy to think that that was still, you know, one of our main adversaries on the world stage. And if you look at politics today, well, still at odds. The more things change, the more apparently they stay the same ever since the inception of civilization. But yeah, Kurt Angle back in the news, not for being on the TNA Mount Rushmore Hall of Fame that we came up with, but being in the booth August 30th in Cleveland. I'm still waiting to see exactly where this show's going to pop up at. You know, they talked about having a big streaming deal with, you know, somebody said Fox News streaming app.
What?
So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if the association with the new NWO's third man, Izzy Martinez, pays off for Hogan and Bischoff. Let's see, what other big news do we have today? I saw there was a interview, and we can get into another interview in a second, but there was an interview with Kane where he was asked if he was going to make a comeback, and quite frankly, he said no. You know, which is refreshing to hear in a lot of ways when so many other people are willing to, you know, milk it dry, so to speak, take all the money they can off the bone, whatever, you know, however you want to put it, in their career. So Kane doesn't sound like he's coming back. Maybe he'll come back, choke slam a few people.
I think more legends, veterans, whatever you want to refer to them as, need to take a page out of Kane's book and just say no. I think there is a shelf life, and I think it's best to get out before than well after your best before date.
Your expiration date?
Yes.
You don't want to go sour in the eyes of the public, and which actually Kane has done in the eyes of many people in the U.S. for other reasons than his wrestling. Although, you know, a lot of people did lament the end of his wrestling career. There was that few year period where it was just Kane and the Big Show running in on every main event over and over and over. Ugh.
I had a run, I don't recall what year, 02, 03, where I think I was taking a choke slam from Kane on every single show for like 4 or 5 weeks in a row. And then there was a point where we missed 1 week, and then I wrestled him like the next week, and I actually suggested 2 in a row as the finish just to get my average back up. I wrestled Kane a ton, and dude had my number. I don't imagine I beat him very often.
You know, I had like a week-long tryout at Deep South, which would have been, I don't know, 2006 maybe. And that was at the time that they were doing the fake Kane angle. And Drew Gallows, Luke Gallows, Dot Gallows, Festus, whatever you want to call him, fake Kane was there. And they said, hey, you know, you're here for the week. We're paying you few hundred bucks, whatever it is. Why don't you come on over here and let old Gallows practice that choke slam? So at the instruction of Bill DeMott, I think I took, you know, 40 choke slams maybe in a row on the old hard ring that they had down there. And you know, hey, 20 years later, I'm headed towards back surgery, so.
Is Brian Lee still around? Can we get a fake Taker versus fake Kane match to round off the world with the faker Taker and the fake Kane?
I mean, I would also like to get the fake Diesel to take on the real Diesel if we're going to do that and just run the entire gamut. You know what I mean?
Gamut of people who played the same gimmick and character.
Glenn Jacobs has to wrestle against Gallows as Kane, then he's got to wrestle against Kevin Nash as Diesel. Hey, I'd pay for that.
There you go. Are you aware that there was talks in the Faker Taker generation of actually calling him the Overtaker, and they were going to make a tag team as the Undertaker and the Overtaker?
Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back in the next segment of the show to talk about AEW Collision and whatever other wrestling news we can think of. Wrestling Observer Live coming. Wrestling Observer Live back in the house. Filthy Tom Lawler, Lance Storm hosting the show today. Much like there was a guest host last night on Jimmy Kimmel, of all things, as newly minted, I guess you could say, professional wrestler Jelly Roll, better known for his recording escapades in the world of hip-hop and country music, guest hosted the show and interviewed his tag team partner at SummerSlam, Randy Orton, as they are set to take on Logan Paul and Drew McIntyre. Now, this was a 12-minute segment. I'm not sure. I watched the entire thing, Lance. I'm not sure if you did.
I forwarded through a little bit of just the conversation because I checked it out right before we got on the air. So I watched all of the confrontation and most of the interview.
Yeah, the interview was not bad. I mean, Jelly Roll clearly, and we've kind of seen it with like this media push I've noticed over the past few days of Jelly Roll loves wrestling. Jelly Roll is one of the hardest workers we've ever seen. Jelly Roll takes this seriously. Well, I mean, in the interview, he came off really genuine with his love and admiration and respect of pro wrestling. So it's always good to see. They didn't make light of pro wrestling, as, you know, sometimes you'd see in the past on some of these talk shows. So I thought it was a good overall segment leading up to, we had a run-in, which I, you know, yeah, too. An unexpected swerve in some ways at the end. We had a run-in first by Drew McIntyre as he and Randy Orton engaged in pedestrian fisticuffs. I would say, didn't even require security to break them up. They spilled to the back. Jelly Roll was left alone and pondered what to do. He looked as if he was confused. He didn't know if he should send it to commercial, much like I have been doing this entire show. He was miffed, but he had a professional come in to save him, much like I have with you, Lance, here to back me up, as Logan Paul showed up, and Logan Paul got in his face. They came to physical blows, I guess you could say, which ended with Jelly Roll, of all things, choke slamming Logan Paul through the announce desk and standing tall, pitching the show and pitching SummerSlam to the audience as they roared with ovation. So an overall productive segment, as I've seen it reported. I've seen it all over social media. It's been on the news. So it got them some notoriety, which, of course, is what you're looking for in this sort of angle.
Yeah, it's just to grab eyeballs, get clips that can be shown on SportsCenter or newscasts and trend online. So mission accomplished on that front. As a detail guy and producer, though, I did notice they almost knocked the desk over on the up of the choke slam, which would have been a disaster because I assume it was live television.
Yeah. Jelly Roll would have had, like, hold him up there like he was the giant in WCW and had to readjust the choke slam not to spike him on the desk if they would have done that. I don't know if Jelly Roll could have pulled that one off. But, Lance, you said you also watch the Andy Kaufman Jerry Lawler segment to kind of get a another view on this. So
yeah, that was really interesting in that, like, the Jelly Roll one, everyone could tell this was a pro wrestling production. It was very much the same as you would see on a wrestling show. I don't think anybody was meant to believe that this was a shoot. But the Kaufman Jerry Lawler one I thought was an amazing balance in that they didn't try to convince anyone that wrestling was real, but they never told anyone it wasn't. And Letterman kind of played that doubtful fan of that era. And Kaufman and Jerry played it straight. And right before commercial break, Jerry smacked the living bejesus out of Kaufman. And when they come back from break, Kaufman cut a promo that would have got beeped out. Well, it did get bleeped out then, and it would get bleeped out if we played it here on Sports Byline, because he used some harsh language.
Yeah, I think in segments like when I go back and I do a lot of reading and you look at the history of pro wrestling, even dating back to the late 1800s, the public knows what's going on. There's no sense in trying to convince everyone that pro wrestling is legitimate. It's on the up and up. But what you can do is convince people that the beef between persons is legitimate and that there is a real conflict there. And I think when you focus kind of on that, it comes off a lot better rather than, you know, trying to pull the wool over someone's eyes. Now, before the show ends, we should talk about, or I should talk about, because I don't think that you actually watched the entire show, but I should talk about AEW Dynamite, the big show of Wednesday. Of course, a big show in AEW coming off of the pay-per-view, what Tony Khan called their biggest pay-per-view, their biggest show of all time this past Saturday. So we had AEW Dynamite coming to us from the Byline Bank Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, which they'll be at until July 31st. A very unique looking building too. I think it looks awesome on TV. I think anything that looks different usually comes off great. I did see, I think it was Joey Janela asked if they were shooting this at the Casa Bonita. which I could see where he'd get that joke from, but I think it looks awesome on TV. Obviously, it's a different look than the arenas. It's a ballroom, so you have that kind of vintage background, but the show opened with Hangman Page. He's in the ring being showered with cheers, chants. He actually told the crowd they deserved it, and the crowd chanted, "We deserve it." He thanked many people: Orange Cassidy, Jay White, Adam Copeland, The Ops, Brian Danielson, Darby Allin, Will Ospreay, even Swerve Strickland. He said he shed blood and tears on Saturday night. Some people would say that makes him less of a man, but he's got a wife and kids at home that love him, millions of fans that could be proud of him, and that he is the champion. So a very strong promo coming off of his big title win on Saturday. And, I mean, accomplished its goal. The champion came off looking like a superstar. We then had what ended up being kind of the theme of the show, an action-packed match between Kyle Fletcher and Mascara Dorada. Don Callis and Lance Archer were ringside but did not get involved. Dorada looked great. He made his comeback. Fletcher was a great base for him, took his high-flying lucha offense well, and eventually, after Dorada made his comeback, he got buried with a lawn dart in the corner, a running boot, and then planted with a brainbuster, and the proto star gets the win. Then we had the Bucks being questioned by Renee backstage. They arrived via Uber. They no longer have the company credit card to use on their various escapades. They tried talking to Marina Shafir. She blew them off. They were led downstairs to their locker room, which is in the doldrums in the basement. The Ricochet and the Gates of Agony approached and laughed at them. And then Don Callis approached. And what he proposed was, "Hey, I've got some extra space on my couch. Why don't we team up?" And the Bucks said, "Hey, look, we're not joining your family, but maybe we can do business." And they all hugged, much to the seeming chagrin of Matt and Nick. We had the Hurt Syndicate backstage cutting a promo. MVP begged the tag division to take the titles from them. He said, "The division's getting boring." MJF then let Hangman know that he is the best in the world. He's going to beat Hangman clean for the title. He doesn't need the contract to cash in. He said he is the personal embodiment of Hangman's depression, which, that doesn't seem like it'd be good for Max either, but hey. And that nice guys finish last, and they are not nice at all. We had Hechicero, Josh Alexander, and their partners, the Young Bucks, come out. The Young Bucks come out, no pyro, no music, highlight of them losing. They take on Jet Speed, Bandido, Brody King, another all-action match. Bucks went for the EVP trigger, but didn't know what to call it and hesitated. This led to the babyfaces making their comeback. Eventually, Bandido went for the 21-plex, but he got quadruple teamed by the heels. Hechicero choked him out, and they're clearly positioning because they showed a highlight video of Hechicero challenging Bandido after the ROH title match on Friday. They're clearly positioning Hechicero for a title match. We had Cope come out, the rated R legend. He said he didn't come out at All In to save Christian Cage. He doesn't blame Nick Wayne or Chris Sabian. He hopes Christian gets right, but he came back to get his hands on FTR. This brought out Stoke. Stoke said after his actions on Saturday that if Cope, Adam Copeland, lays a finger on FTR, he will be fired. And Cope said, "Well, you didn't say anything about yourself," and speared Stoke. Mark Briscoe cut a fiery promo. Thekla, Queen Amanada, Willow Nightingale, and Chris Statlander had a four-way $100,000 fight. Again, all action. Eventually, Thekla won with the help of Sky Blue, cause a distraction, and Julia Hart, who came into the ring, misted Queen Amanada and allowed Thekla to hit a stomp for the win. There's a Toni Storm promo in which she was interrupted by Athena. This set up Toni Storm taking on Billy Starks next week. There was a promo from the former patriarchy. Don Callis came out with both title belts, the Continental and International titles. Then that brought out Kazuchika Okada with new theme music. He squashed some scrub and then called out Swerve Strickland, of all people. And they had a face-to-face. And in the main event, we had the Death Riders, John Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, Claudio Castagnoli, taking on the team of Hangman Adam Page, Mark Briscoe, Powerhouse Hobbs. And Hangman won the match for his team. He rolled up Claudio with a jackknife as he was going for the neutralizer. The Death Riders attacked Hangman after the match until Darby Allin appeared in the rafters, much like his mentor Sting. And this caused a distraction long enough for Hangman to recover, hit a buckshot lariat, and stand tall. So a good edition of AEW Dynamite. I think coming off their biggest show of the year, if the indeed the idea is to present All In as the biggest show of the year, I think they just should have had some hook, another big return. I don't necessarily mean Hook himself, but, you know, another big return to the show, some big surprise. There were no big returns. There was a mention of it being Forbidden Door season, but they could have had, I know it's tough with the G1 coming up, but they could have had an invasion from CMLL, an invasion from New Japan, just something to kickstart it in that direction. But like I said, a good all-action show of AEW Dynamite. And we will be back after the break to wrap it up. Wrestling Observer Live here, back for the final segment of the show. And in some ways, I think the most important segment of the show, because this is the news that I know many listeners have been waiting for, the news that they wait for virtually every show, Lance, and that is ratings news. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Get this. According to Paul Fontaine, can you imagine that Tuesday night's edition of NXT dropped in ratings as they took on the Major League Baseball All-Star Game? 586,000 viewers. A staggering 25% drop in the 18 to 49 demo. I'd ask you if you have any thoughts on that, but quite frankly, you know, I just threw it in there to kill time. I don't think you care. I don't think I care. I don't think anybody cares about our thoughts on the ratings, really.
I'm not going to lose sleep over it, that's for sure.
No, not at all. And another news note before we go, because I know people love talking about him, but there's Omos. It's been talked about Omos maybe going down to AAA and making an appearance. So, as always, a packed day of news on the wrestling beat. A packed weekend upcoming. Tonight, once again, TNA Impact. Saturday, UFC 318. Sunday, TNA Slammiversary, AEW Collision on Saturday. And the show will be back tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live on Friday with Brian Alvarez and
Lance Storm.
So thanks for
fun
joining
Friday.
Us.
Friday.
Thanks for joining us. The show will be back tomorrow for a fun Friday. Have a good one, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live.